issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Americans had traditionally been opposed to same-sex marriage by relatively sizable margins. We've seen a huge shift. 48% now say that they favor it, and 44% now say they oppose it. So over the course of just 8 years, a very substantial shift in public mood on this issue.
As an excerpt from our interview earlier this week with David Maskey of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, talking about the general shift in opinion about legalizing same-sex marriage in the United States. Of course, last week showed some of, well, I guess what the defenders of natural marriage might consider the biggest defeats that they have suffered. It was 32 out of 32, I believe, states that when given a chance to vote on the legalization of same-sex marriage, voted to protect natural marriage until last week. And then, in one form or another, we found same-sex marriage gaining ground when put to a vote. At least that's how I saw what happened last week. Maybe I'm not reading it correctly. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. It is Friday afternoon, November the 16th. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is coming up in the last half hour. You get a chance to vote there for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Speak to our listeners who are, they're discouraged now. They've been with us for many years talking about these things, and maybe they're ready to give up. You know, the next time this comes up at the Thanksgiving dinner table and someone's going on about how great alternative forms of marriage are and how it all should be legalized, they're going to keep their mouth shut. What do you say to them?
Well, it was a tough week. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the election night was a very hard night. It's been a very tough week. And so we're sitting back and trying to analyze what happened, you know, and what went wrong. And the first and most obvious thing to say is that in all of the four states where there were marriage-related ballot initiatives, we were outspent. In Minnesota, we were outspent 3-1. In Washington State, we were outspent 8-1. And just in practical terms, what that means, the vast majority of expenditures go into TV ads, Todd. So what that means is that people heard and saw pro same-sex marriage advertising 8 times to every 1 time they saw a pro natural marriage advertisement. So, you know, you can have really great ads and you can have really great arguments, and people are just going to get pummeled with the messaging. And so there's a sort of element of a propaganda campaign here that people are just being worn down by repetition. So I think there's a large element of that. And then, of course, there's always the kind of social ostracism and intimidation that goes on. I mean, that was still going on in all of these places. You know, you would think that if this was the wave of the future and that this was naturally what everybody wants and, oh, public opinion is changing, it'll all be good, you would think that people could leave your yard signs alone, you know. But no, yard signs didn't last 24 hours in most of these states, and in many, many neighborhoods in these states, you know. You put your yard sign up, within 24 hours it was gone and you had to put up a new one, you know. So you would think it was really all, you know, the inevitable march of history towards gay marriage. You could leave the yard signs out there, but evidently not the case.
One of the things that David Maskey of the Pew Forum pointed out when we talked with him earlier, and we were just talking about kind of the general public opinion, And, yes. But he did opine about the general election results with those referenda, and he said, look, in essence, these states were already, in some sense, low-hanging fruit. His words were, they didn't pass same-sex marriage legalization in Texas. They did it in states where it was most likely to happen.
Right. That's exactly right. That's a very good point. And as a matter of fact, if you take the same-sex marriage, so-called, you take that vote and look at it in comparison with the general vote, what you'll see is that more people voted for marriage than who voted for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Okay, so in every one of those four states, marriage polled better than the Republican Party ticket. So what that means is that there are Democrats, or Democratic voters at least, independent voters, maybe swing voters, I don't know exactly who those people are, but there are people who will who are voting for Obama, who, in fact, voted in favor of natural traditional marriage in all four states. And, in fact, we saw that in California in 2008. More people voted for Prop 8 than who voted for John McCain, you know, back then. So it seems to me that means that there is some basis for bipartisan work on these issues, more so than has been done up until now.
So explain that to me. 2008, 4 years ago, traditional marriage won in California, I think, by some 60%, and yet we lost
it wasn't that much.
Yet we lost all four races last week. How does California protect natural marriage in a referenda and these other states don't?
Well, the spending was equally matched in California. You know, if you think about what went on in California, that was the big, you know, there had been these other electoral skirmishes around, but Prop 8 was the big push because nobody thought we could do it. Nobody thought we could pull it off. And, of course, there was a lot at stake because the Supreme Court of the state of California had already, you know, issued an edict saying that we had to have gay marriage. So there was a lot at stake in that. And the sides were evenly matched, Todd. We spent about $40 million. They spent about $40 million. Still in all, the entire political establishment, all of the newspapers, you know, all of the unions, everybody was against Prop 8. But with equal spending and a whole lot of volunteers and a whole lot of ground game, we came through. But 4 years later, the people on the other side, I think, have advanced their strategy a little bit. They've been studying us. They've been paying attention to us. They've been watching what works. And they have moved, I think they have moved their game faster and further than we have, in addition to the fact of all the spending. You know, the spending is just incredible. And I think the real message here, Todd, is that this issue is not, it's fought at the state level, but it's, in a sense, a national issue because money pumps in from out of state. You know, money comes in from all over the place on both sides, but especially on the pro-gay marriage side. I mean, you know, look, in Washington State, Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com, he dropped $2.5 million of his own money, you know, on one side. You know, we don't have people like that. So the whole process of campaigning, the whole process of raising money, all of that has kind of moved along. And they're moving along faster than we are. The other thing that's really interesting is that is the ground game, what I would call the ground game for marriage. A lot depends really on what kind of organization the states have. You know, so when, for example, our organization, National Organization for Marriage, when we go into a state, we help. You know, I mean, I don't do this myself, but I'm aware of what goes on in the C4 corner of the organization. They bring in a lot of money. They bring in a lot of expertise and working on advertising and focus groups and things like that. But we're often quite dependent on the local team, you know, of whatever the family values groups happen to be there in the states. And what we have found, particularly in Maine, it was very striking in Maine, that the people on the other side had their ground team in place for over a year, you know, and we just got our guys going in the last few months, you know, and we had a couple of paid people, and they had 36 people. I don't know if they were all paid or all volunteers, but they had 36 full-time people. At least that's what it looked like from our side. I mean, it's not like it's registered someplace or something, but here's just our guys on the ground are looking, wow, there are a lot of those guys out there every single day doing this stuff, you know. So there's a lot of work to do, I think, for the ground game. As well as for the financial piece.
Where do we go from here? With about a minute or so.
Where do we go? go from here? Well, you know, of course, the first thing we have to do, and my personal plan, is that I'm planning on following Jesus because he knows where he's going. And so I think it's very important that people, you know, double down on their prayer life. And I want to tell everybody that I know that a lot of your listeners were praying and sacrificing and fasting for the sake of the election. And I want them to know how much I personally appreciate all of that. And it may seem like it's not worth it, but really it is worth it. You know, it really is worth it to keep your mind focused towards the good. So I think that every single person listening to me has to resolve that they're going to do their own vocation as well as they can to the best of their ability, and keep your eye out for the ways in which you can, in an organized, systematic way, take back some ground in this culture for the sake of natural marriage and good values. I'll just close with one example. I was at North Carolina State the other day, and a student was talking to me that most of the dorms, all the dorms have resident advisors, of course, in the dormitories. On the other, there is a gay resident advisor in virtually every dormitory. Now, that is a ground game. I just don't believe that that's an accident. You know, I think somebody worked on that. Somebody made it a priority to make sure that those values were represented in the dorms at that university. And people on our side need to be equally intentional about whatever their area of expertise is and make sure that our views are represented and pushed forward.
Real quickly here, with about 30 seconds, last hour we talked to Alan Cooperman of the Pew Forum about the Catholic vote in last week's election. What's your analysis of the Catholic vote, with about a minute here, but very little more?
Well, the Catholic vote is improving, but it's still got a long way to go. I mean, the Catholic vote for the first Obama election was, I think, 54-45, something like that. And this year it was 50-48, you know. So we've narrowed the margins. If you look at mass-going Catholics, the 15-point advantage among regular mass-going Catholics of all races. So that's a good thing, but it's not moving fast enough. And to be quite honest with you, there's been a failure and a breakdown of catechesis across the board in the Catholic Church that we're paying for now. So we have to get on the ball and do something about it. One other thing that will interest your listeners is that I'm told that in the Minnesota vote on the marriage amendment, that the Minnesota vote did better in Lutheran neighborhoods than it did in Catholic neighborhoods. So you guys will be gratified to know that.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Moss is a founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. I'm curious. This is probably a question that I don't know that anybody's dealing with right now, so you want to stay tuned. What about Mormonism post the defeat of their candidate, GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney, as the poster child for Mormonism? What does Mormonism look like post-election? Bill McKeever will be our guest right after this. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.